Brother Larry Bish, Vietnam vet, raconteur, jazz musician, philosopher, and counselor to inmates at the Eastern Regional County Jail, and a teller of stories, and a keen observer on human life, and a hipster from way back. He's going to be weighing in on the weighty matters before us as we approach December 1st and the election of the Mexican president. Here we have Larry Bish.
Him off.
You think he's...
So, I got a call from Saki McGill today.
Yeah?
Yeah, you know, we're going to get together and have lunch next week.
And does he have some sort of project in mind for you?
No, the reason he called was because he wanted me to get a plug to a relative of his who was going to apply to jail. So I just did that.
Oh, I see. Okay. Well, cool. You know, the jail's always going to have a workforce. We're going to keep some people in prison. Otherwise, I mean, how would we know we're good? If nobody's in jail, I mean, what does that mean?
Nothing.
Yeah.
I don't know what it means.
Well,
actually,
I don't know.
I'm at a loss.
Well, there's some movies in Hollywood that talk about it.
Well, Larry, I mean, now that I got you on the air, I want to get your impact upon the robust defense of our borders.
Of who?
Robust defense of our borders, and the invasion migrants who really were only coming into the state of California to try and pick up the 100,000 rakes that Trump said they needed a workforce to go around and rake everything, you know. But anyway, and we have the army deployed on our side shooting tear gas at people in Mexico.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I know that's not the actual first time that's happened, but we're just out there brazenly doing it, and we now have a left-wing president of Mexico takes office. We'll see how much power he has. He takes office Saturday, right?
Right.
What?
So it's a dynamic.
What the hell is happening? What's going on, man? I mean,
I can't escape. I just cannot escape the observation that we have as a president a lunkhead and a criminal and just a kind of a family criminal boss and someone who wants to be something he's just not capable of being. The whole world knows it.
Yeah.
But as far as the border. Today I was pretty interested by the pediatricians who
I didn't see that. What was that?
Tear gassing infants.
Oh,
and
right.
Children. And they're saying that the damage is unbelievable. So that's where the lunkhead kind of thing came from.
Oh, said, man.
Don't they even consider that?
You know, didn't one kid pass away already?
I heard that, but
I hadn't heard that.
I haven't independently verified that. And you know, we operate on the Ronald Reagan premise
and
of
I've
trust
also
but
heard,
verify here.
I've also heard of two different methods or chemicals being used.
Yeah, you just can't do that. You know, you just can't do that. I responded with a post this morning when I had some time, but when in 1971 I came back from Vietnam. I was at Camp Lejeune, and here goes another war story. But
one war leads to another. So go ahead, man.
Right. So we were deployed to D.C., Washington D.C., because there were potential riots, and we trained incessantly in riot control when I was in the Marine Corps at that period. And so I went AWOL. I refused the order. I could have probably technically been court-martialed for desertion. And I might still be in
level. What year was this, Larry? What year was that?
1971.
Oh, okay. Well,
May in 1971.
They had a lot of litigation already in process by 71.
Yeah. Well, you know, my point is there's a time to refuse an order.
Yeah.
And I don't know that the people down there on the border aren't considering that. They don't necessarily want to be doing what they're doing.
Oh, I'm sure. I mean, I thought that actually some of the officers or the general statements were like trying to push back. But see, that's the problem, okay? If the commander in chief gives an order that is tyrannical or a covering, I declare a national emergency, you know, the army gets deployed to Kansas City where there are way too many black people.
Which is back to my point.
You know?
I hear the euphemisms constantly. Everybody's avoiding the words like stupid and insane.
How about evil?
Evil, right? You know, you don't want to direct those kind of pejoratives toward the president of the United States that you elected.
Yeah, because you know? There you go.
And so we're in this really rough spot.
Yeah.
Because, what are we going to do? We can't even prosecute this asshole.
Well, now, I was asking this question earlier of, I think, Stuart Acuff, and I'd like to get your reaction to it, too, because that's what keeps coming up in different ways. And that is, okay, let's suppose that the president has, as he appears to have, committed serious crimes.
Yes.
And he gets impeached, and now the country has a choice of whether to actually not just impeach him from office, but prosecute him, criminalize his administration.
Mm-hmm.
And,
is that possible?
And is that... Now, you know, here's an interesting thing. I just want to put this on you, because we've had two historical events, at least I can think of, that where we had to make that decision. And one was the Revolution, in which the Tories who bore arms against the United States were not welcomed, including, I think, Franklin's own son. Okay? Mm-hmm. Their property was confiscated, and they were asked to leave. Okay. And
am I wrong though because as I understand it, it really wasn't a majority that wanted to revolt.
Well, it may not have been, but regardless, at the when the decision was made, when the battle was won, okay, you know, and when Franklin was negotiating the terms, okay, of the separation. Well, you know, so then in the Civil War, though, Lincoln chose in a way not to do that at the end, where he never recognized the Confederacy. He never recognized even its illegality in some respects. You know, he revoked part of the Constitution habeas corpus to keep the Capitol from being overtaken. There seems to be kind of a decision, okay, we're going to malice toward none. I mean, his second inaugural, of course, that was the second part of his second inaugural. The first part was, if we have to burn every one of you guys down to end this, we will. Yes.
Destroy that notion.
But should we, is the introduction to you. Should we think, or do you have a conclusion in your own mind about whether or not, in addition to removing him from office, this behavior needs to be criminalized?
You know, I walk into a building every day filled with people incarcerated for things far less onerous.
Right.
I was talking to Linda. Not only do I do that, but I walk through a circle of individuals indulging their addiction. And smoking, because you can't smoke in a building.
right.
into a building of persons that they are charged to control and supposedly keep safe, but they also order them around like children. And then I walk in there with the knowledge that addiction is addiction. And these are treated so drastically and unbelievably differently in the law.
Right.
And how we approach these things. As to the consequences of it, well,
I know.
Just make tobacco illegal tomorrow and see what happens.
Well, yeah, because people are addicted to it, and I mean the Nicorette gum is going to go up just at a very high price, very fast. Okay, so supply and demand.
Yeah, we have the equivalent of it, and we're headed towards the same kind of solution with Vivitrol and you know methadone clinics and everything. So eventually, we'll come to the same place, and you know, so predictable and so. Disturbingly repetitive that these silly, simple solutions to complex problems that we
right.
continue to indulge in without compassion and without any kind of understanding of necessary. And it comes back to the wrong people making the decisions and then policies that don't include the nuances of the problem.
Well, here's an interesting, like, for example, I mean, like the president, Thumper, yesterday or maybe it was the day before, he says that he makes his decisions by his gut.
Oh,
Frumper. It's Frumper, isn't it?
Right.
That was classic. That was classic lizard brain.
Well, okay, but you know, there are most people who do not have a scientific education.
And that's an excellent point.
May confront a similar problem of having to go by their been there, done that since.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The Titanic comes to mind.
Well, okay, and that, here's the, of course, there's been two Nobel Prizes handed out to this guy named Hahnemann, or whatever his name, the guy that proved that slow and fast thinking, you know, going by your gut versus actually figuring it out, you know, as close as you can, whatever science you can put on it, okay? You know, was a difference between success and a high error factor in going by your gut.
Right.
About your range of accuracy ran between 30% and 60%, okay?
But Trump said he's so smart.
Well, I mean, he might be, but you know, it doesn't
he's
matter
not,
how
he's not
it doesn't
smart.
Matter how smart or dumb you are if you go he's by your smart. Gut rather than, you know, right. sifting of evidence.
But there again, he's admitting
you're going to reduce, not increase your accuracy right now. In addition to accuracy, of course, there's the issue of timing. We all have to make decisions on some things, like, hey, the smoke alarm is on. We have to make them fast, and analysis time, we don't have it, and so we like every animal in the universe so far, we rely on our gut. But we do so now knowing that, you know, our chances of accuracy are running between 30% and 60%.
Well, you guys, to me, you both invoked two aspects that are very important here. You referenced Daniel Canahan, and that's absolutely essential that we don't train our citizens to think critically. And then the other one is the therapeutic thing is that this guy is indisputably diagnosable as a sociopath.
Right.
And nobody says, I am smarter than everybody else.
Hey, Zaki had him figured out. Remember Zaki?
Yeah. Oh, Zaki had him pegged.
Unless he's lacking certain cognitive ability, and so this guy's off his rocker, and you know he might have been harmless before. But Jesus,
that's
Christ,
putting
man.
It mildly.
Oh, he's very dangerous. I think we're going to agree. He's very dangerous. Yeah.
Yeah.
Somebody needs to get a big net. Now,
but in order to impeach him, you got to get his support among Republicans down below the 50%.
No, Lindsey.
50% of Republicans.
Lindsey's drawing the line.
Yeah, I saw that. But I mean, that guy can be purchased for the latest special at Walmart. You know.
Yeah, there's not. Now you're crossed over into the culpability of the Congress. We got a mess.
Oh my God!
Well,
it really is. It's really bad.
What do you think, Mr. Mueller's going to make his move before Christmas?
Oh God!
When does the GAO come out with a report?
I don't know, but everybody's waiting with bated breath.
Is it every two
for this guy to save the world?
Is it every 2 years or every?
You know, I mean, what did Ken Lay do? You know,
yeah.
I mean, really,
yeah.
He sort of just faded out into the distance like Todd Rundgren.
Whatever your name is,
how do you keep track of all the lies, Larry?
Larry, that's what I was talking to Larry. Right. I forgot Larry's name for a minute.
I mean, all the lies. There's layers and layers of lies.
Everybody, I work. Did you ever work with juveniles? Probably not. But, sure. So
I was a camp counselor.
A lot of them start off with this. I'm not going to lie to you. I'm not going to lie to you, man.
Every one of them said that.
Why in the world would you lie to me?
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
Every reason in the world.
When somebody says that to me, I figure they are lying.
Into the belief that I can get out of them. I can get them out of that because I'm there to help them. I'm not there to take advantage of them. I'm not there to punish them. And I'm not there to do anything. I'm just there to understand them. And so, I get the lies when they start talking about their offense. You know,
or how good they are.
Clever. They're not very clever, but. But
anybody that says how good they are, you know, no matter what it is, you know, could be basket weaving.
Well, I'm not going to get involved in the debate of is he stupid, crazy. I just think we have to get rid of him out of there. And the only question I was really concerned about is how serious is the disease that he is it him or is there a disease that is so deep that got him in there and that so far has kept him in there that is something where.
Got to get rid of the electoral college.
You got to think a little deeply about whether or not you want to criminalize it, and whether you can, and do you have muscle to do it.
Got to get rid of the electoral college.
You know, well that too. But you're talking about two thirds of states voting by two thirds majorities. We're not there yet, pal. You know, I don't think we're there.
What about this? What about this? I saw this and it struck me. It was an observation, one of the things I read, that the people who are supporting this guy don't care about any of this. What they want to do is destroy something that they feel is hurting them. So they don't care. They love that he's tearing down democracy. They love that he's ruining the government.
Well, there's certainly a bunch.
They don't want any of the eight.
Yeah,
they don't want any government. They're so angry that what they would like, what they want, their hero is to tear it down like Bannon wants to do.
But they build it up when they want to build the wall, though.
But these are like ideologically like autocratic, you know, kind of
despotic
government. You know, they have a single leader. You know, some
gassing kids. And
well, I mean, whatever. I mean, even if they think it's going to be benevolent, okay, they've given up on this democracy.
American dream.
You know, they've given up on it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think with Steve Bannon, with Trump, Trump has given up on it. He's only doing doing as little as possible in everything
mode.
He does, tries to undermine it.
Yeah, survival.
He's undermined the courts. You know, he's threatening the guy.
It's a house of cards.
The Supreme Court people he appointed.
A house of cards. Ready to come tumbling down.
Anyway, I want to say goodbye. Actually, what I want to do, Larry, because I want to get a hold of Mike and have him weigh in here, so we have part of him on there. I can only do one at a time. Anyway, I hope you can make it down.
I forgot,
I hope you can make it down next Thursday, man.
Yeah, I couldn't do it today.
I know. I know. That's why we got. I'll get the phone fixed so we can add callers on. Okay, somehow.
You sound really good. You sound very, very.
You sound
clear,
good, and it's great to hear you, man. And I know we communicate on Facebook quite a bit, but it's great to hear you. And,
okay, well.
All right.
Continue on.
All right, buddy. Take it easy, man. All right. Take care. Talk to you later. Bye. Right. Bye. All right.